thank you for joining us today for NACSW's Podcast of the Month featured selection. We hope you found today's session useful and that it will support your efforts to thoughtfully integrate Christian faith and social work practice. We also hope that you will consider participating in additional NACSW's activities and events, including NACSW's upcoming convention in the fall, our quarterly audio conference workshops that we offer at no cost to NACSW members, and which includes free CEUs accredited by the Association of Social Work Boards, our online continuing education program, and access to dozens of archived podcasts from the members section of our website. Also, we invite you to join NACSW's Facebook group or our Facebook fan page. For additional information about these and other NACSW benefits and services, you can go to our website at www.nacsw.org. Thanks again for listening in today to our podcast session today.
I'm Dr. Landy Endicott.
Hey, greetings, everybody. New experiment for all of us. A little bit of stress here, but we're okay. I'm Lanny Endicott. I've been at ORU now for, Oral Roberts University that is, for about 38 years. And I do some consulting for child welfare with the state and with one of the Indian tribes here as well. And I've been doing that for some time as well. And in addition to doing some of my work here with child welfare, with DHS, I've done some debriefing when there's a crisis in a county office, and I've been doing that for about 12 years. And so I've had a lot of experience in working with people who are really stressed on the job, compassion fatigue, even going toward burnout. In fact, they've even encountered some folks that are just absolutely burned out, but they can't really change jobs because it's a small county and it's a good paying job. So you run into some real conflicts there when you work in this area. So as a response to that, I've been doing some training or developed this training package, and I've had different phases of it over time. And you can find this on my website, drlannyendicott.com/tripod.com. And this whole presentation is there. You can use it however you want. It's free. I don't charge anything for anything I do. So it's my passion to help our profession stay professional and help our profession stay healthy. That's one of my whole goals in this whole thing. So anyway, let's go for it. Go to the next slide. Are you there, Rick?
Got it. I advance to the next slide. Breathe in, breathe out.
Yes. Actually, we went past suggestions for training, and let's go on to breathe in, breathe out. This is kind of a thing I developed with some help of a professor here that's really into some of the mystical kind of things. The idea of the breath of life, breathing in, breathing out, that breath is very important to all of us, that breathing helps us to relax ourselves. As we all know as professionals, basically. And then I say, breathe in, just take a deep breath, breathe out, and then if you go to the fourth slide, you've got, before you breathe in again, you say relaxation. Then you breathe in, slow, deep belly breath, release it, breathe out, peace. The next one would be healing. And you can even, I'll get to this a little bit later. But if you go to the fifth slide, are you there?
Got it. Starts with moving over the water surface.
Yeah. I put this in here because, in talking to some of my mystical friends, both Hebrew and Greek words for the spirit refer to the breath of God. I see breathing as necessary to life and calmness, but also as a metaphor of breathing in the spirit and the resources brought to us by the spirit of God. That is the fruit of the spirit, healing, relaxation. Finally, I see this form of breathing as a form of prayer, breath prayer, literally breathing in God, breathing in the Spirit, remembering His presence within, calling upon His help for our needs. And in the triangle, you breathe in. You can even say, Spirit, breathe, and say what your need is. Or you can utter each breath one of the fruits of the Spirit. Whatever suits you, you can do this. I have found it very helpful to me. I've done this now for several years. And then on the next slide, if you look at, I'm not going to go over all these verses for you, but there's a lot in the Scriptures about the Spirit of God and the Spirit of God as a part of us. And the metaphor, that breathing connected with thinking about incorporating the Spirit helps us to develop ourselves spiritually as well. And if you go to slide number 7, you've got fill in the blank, breath of life. Now, in a secular audience, I do this in secular audiences too, I'll say breath of life. But for us who are believers, we'll say Spirit of God or Spirit. Breath of life, breathe. And then if you go to the next slide, which is number 8, you'll see Spirit as you inhale. Breathe as you exhale. Love. Spirit. Breathe. Take your time. Love, joy, peace. The fruits of the Spirit, as I said before. I hope this is meaningful to you. It's very meaningful to me. And I've been doing it for some time now. I've done a lot of reading on this and kind of developed this form along with the picture you see of the water coming down the mountainside going over the rocks. I hope that's meaningful to you. And you can actually combine deep breathing with imagery. And you can go to that very scene, or you can go to the sea. You can go to the mountains. You can go wherever you want. You can go to grandma's backyard. Everybody has a place or places where they can go in their imagination and relax and breathe and incorporate the Spirit, even the Spirit of thanksgiving within. Okay, go to the next slide, number 9. Before I go to number 9, Rick, do you want to open it up just for a moment, see if anybody has any questions about that?
Okay. Are there any questions? For those of us that have the PowerPoint printed out, I don't know about others, but I'm a little bit lost. Maybe it was edited since I printed this, but I printed this, couple of days ago, but we're missing, I think, some of the imagery pictures. And as you move on, the next slide we have is professional self-care social work. Is that going to be next?
That's right. That's correct. That's correct.
All right. So we're just missing a couple, I think.
Okay. Luann, if you want to shoot me an email at rich@w.org, I'll send you the updated PowerPoint slide lens working from.
Oh, that'd be great. I'm not at the computer now, but that would be great.
Okay. Yeah, I think you did download an earlier copy. Any updates?
All right.
Yeah. You know, I'm always changing and modifying, and sorry for that.
Hi. This is Dolores Hill from California. I'm sorry I'm late. I didn't have my passcode, and I don't have my computer at work, so I had to call home and ask my husband to get it for me. So
great. Thanks for joining.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay, Rick.
A 9.
Rick, why don't we go on then?
Okay, Lanny, callers are muted. It's all yours.
Okay, we're down to professional self-care and social work. This statement appears in Social Work Speaks. I worked on it somewhat in the last delegate assembly that we had for social work for NASW. and just simply says that professional self-care is an essential underpinning to best practice in the profession of social work. The need for professional self-care has relevance to all social workers in the settings where they practice. The practice of self-care, the next slide. Slide number 10. The practice of self-care is critical to the survival of and growth of the social work profession. Health, and there's several other things in there, but then I said health and productivity of the social worker. Then we get into slide number 11. And this is a code of ethics that we follow. 4.05, called impairment. Point A, social workers should not allow their own personal problems, psychosocial distress, and it goes on with some others, to interfere with their professional judgment and performance or jeopardize the best interest of people for whom they have a professional responsibility. Go to the next slide, if you would. And then B, or actually, if I go back to this, actually go back to A, if you would, which would be slide 10. Can you do that? And the point I make here is a lack of self-care can lead to impairment of the social work professional. Can our impairment be damaging to our clients? How? Note that the purpose of social work licensing is to protect the public from the social worker. That's why we follow the code of ethics. Our impairment can put our clients in jeopardy. How can the social worker's personal problems be injurious to his or her clients? And one of those would be just being angry with your clients, as we'll get into. Not being attentive to your client, being attentive to your own struggles, not being fully present with your client can be damaging to the client. Is that true? I'll let y'all answer that one. Go to the next one, if you will. Slide number 12. And then this one that says, social workers whose personal problems, psychosocial distress, etc., should take remedial action by seeking professional help, making adjustments in workload, even terminating practice or taking any other steps necessary to protect clients and others. In other words, the extreme measure for us as professionals is to probably terminate our work with our clients, because we could be injurious to them if we're sizzling toward burnout. Something to think about. And the next slide, number 13, hurting people can be hurtful to others. Okay, let's go to the next one, which would be slide 14. And a lot of these next few slides I get from Beth Stamm, S-T-A-M-M, from Idaho State University. She's one of the leaders, I believe, in putting together this whole focus on compassion fatigue, compassion satisfaction, and burnout. She, along with Figley and others, are really good at this, and she has a website, and this slide here comes right off her website, along with questionnaires that you can use, assessment questionnaires that you can use to help yourself and or your staff that you work with. I like the way she talks about it. She talks about compassion satisfaction. There's kind of a continuum here between compassion satisfaction and compassion fatigue, and in this slide on number 14, she talks about the positive aspects of helping. That is pleasure and satisfaction from working in helping caregiving systems. Maybe related to the fact that you're helping, you're providing care. The system itself, you like the system you work in, the agency, the people you work with, the colleagues, and then it helps reinforce beliefs about yourself, that you can do this kind of work, and altruism, just the fact that you can be helpful. And I also added for us, it's a sense of calling for those of us who are believers, who are social workers. We experience a sense of calling in working with the people that we do. And if you go to the next one, compassion fatigue, which will be slide number 15. On the other side of the continuum here, you've got the negative aspects of helping. Negative aspects of working in helping systems may be related to providing care, the kind of clients you work with, and the kind of care you're having to provide, and the stress and the trauma that your clients are facing. The system itself, and this is one area I'll get to a little bit later, my focus of research now and in the future is looking at how the system, our workplace system, traumatizes us and how what we can do to try to help mediate that problem. Anyway, also work with colleagues. We can have problems there. And then beliefs about myself, my dreams, my values. Is there a match between my training and the kind of work I'm doing? And then she gets into burnout. Spiritually, burnout for us as Christians would be a loss of self, a loss of our values, a loss of who we are as persons by the very profession that we're in. And then we have work-related trauma, the trauma of working with traumatized people. Anyway, you can go to the next slide. And then she talks about burnout and secondary traumatic stress, burnout, work-related hopelessness, and feelings of ineffectiveness. Secondary traumatic stress, work-related secondary exposure to extremely or traumatically stressful events. Both have negative effects. Burnout, you're simply worn out. Secondary traumatic stress can be related to fear, retreat, avoidance, anxiety, sometimes are the very clients we work with. Go to the next slide, which should be 17. Psychological trauma, she gives a definition. Damage to the psyche from a traumatic event can lead to PTSD, physical changes in the brain and the brain chemistry, changes in the person's response to future stress. Okay, here's the model that she provides, and then I'll give you one of my models a little bit later. Stam sees professional quality of life. On the one hand, you've got compassion satisfaction. I really like what I'm doing. I feel like I'm making an impact. I feel like I'm where I need to be with God's will in my life, etc., in the kind of work I'm doing. Compassion fatigue, on the other hand, has aspects of burnout, and secondary trauma. Secondary trauma meaning I'm working with somebody who has primary trauma, the client, and because of my experience with the client, I absorb some of the trauma into the client and experience secondary trauma. These two things can contribute to compassion fatigue in the way she understands it. The next slide kind of gives a lot of little circles, number 19. Notice on the left the term professional quality of life, and you have three circles connected there. You got the work environment, the client environment, and the personal environment, your personal life, your family life, your friends and colleagues, and so forth. All of these can contribute to you being satisfied. And note that PROQOLCS, this is a test at the very end. It's also on my website. It's on her website. It's free to use for yourself. It's not clinical. It's just educational to help give you some insight into yourself in terms of compassion satisfaction, compassion fatigue, and burnout. These three items in a 30-question questionnaire, very simple, are measured. Then if you notice also, the client environment, the work environment, and the personal environment can contribute to compassion fatigue. And note also that compassion fatigue has forms of exhaustion and frustration and anger And you can be then depressed by the work environment that you're in. It can even lead you to a sense of burnout. Notice the red down below. Personal environment, traumatized by work. It could be that in your past, in my past, we could have traumatic experiences that we're trying to work through being in the profession we're in. And we get into working with traumatized clients, we can be traumatized again and again.
Thank you for listening today to this 20-minute sample of NACSW's Podcast of the Month featured selection. Just a reminder that you can access the full-length version of this and all NACSW podcasts at no cost by simply becoming a member of NACSW or by ordering a copy of this podcast at a reasonable cost on NACSW's online bookstore. We also hope that you will consider participating in additional NACSW activities and events, including NACSW's upcoming convention in the fall, our quarterly audio conference workshops, which provide CEUs accredited by the Association of Social Work Boards, and our online continuing education program. Also, we invite you to join NACSW's Facebook group or our Facebook fan page. For additional information about these and other NACSW benefits and services, you can go to our website at www.nacsw.org. Thanks again for listening in to our podcast session today.